We should be streaming now. Hey, everybody. How you guys doing? This is Alex and Jesse, and we are back now. Yes, they can hear us. I hope they can. If you're in the chat, maybe you should post in the other chat, the other broadcast. What? Oh, well, hopefully they'll have enough. Not anymore. I'm typing right now saying we're back on. I don't even know how you got turned off. But either way, welcome back to the TOT podcast. We'll go ahead and assume that, you know, maybe some people will find it, what have you. And, We'll go ahead with today's episode 5. I can't believe it's episode 5 already. Yep, anytime today you're getting your brand new microphone, so all those audio issues on that end should be fixed. But other than that, you know, I mean, everything should be just fine. Hey, DT's back. No audio on Jesse still? It's coming through. Are you kidding me? You're booming through on my thing. Hang on. Talk, Jesse.
I hope that somebody, anybody can hear us.
Still no audio on Jesse.
Still no audio. Oh, man.
No. I'm asking. He hasn't posted other than no audio on Jesse still.
Okay. Let's see what DT has to say. This is crazy. You know what? We were talking about OBS, and it's having its revenge. Good. Yes. DT, so we're tied for 20 minutes.
Yes. This is awesome. This is just awesome. Okay. I love DT. DT, you know you're my brother from another mother with a whole lot less hair than me. But nonetheless, I love you, man, but you jinx my lives every time. It's always an audio issue.
Oh my god, that is hysterical.
Yeah,
so
at least
the last thing fixed. I want to say about it, maybe we do something for our podcasts, maybe even the distro reviews if people think it's funny enough. We'll get one of those digital OSHA signs, and we'll say, like, how many days since a Linux audio issue?
Yeah. He went 45 minutes late once.
Holy crap. That's determination.
That is awesome.
What do you guys think? Should we have, like, a X number of days since a Linux audio issue?
Yeah, counter. That would be...
Yeah, just have like a little safety, watermark.
That's like the safety workplace, you know, hazard injuries.
Since a workplace accident, yeah, right?
That's funny. Yeah, it seems it seems like you could always count on Linux creating an issue for you to have to deal with at the last minute, especially when you're trying to do this kind of stuff. But either way, that's what kind of makes it fun, and it also shows you also the diversity of how flexible you can be with Linux, that you can fix it. Whereas otherwise,
Windows, you'd be tearing stuff apart and who knows what.
And it's something proprietary that you can't fix. So other than try to restart and hope you don't get the blue screen of magic. I don't want to call it that anymore.
No. At least all of our devices passed the smoke test. All the magic smoke stayed inside where it's supposed to.
Nice. Before we get into the things also, I would like to say that our podcast is now going to be available on Spotify and iTunes. Going from this one forward, I'm going to upload the other ones 1, 2, 3, and 4 up there as well. They'll be available there, but they're just not there right now. But we're now crossing the great divide and becoming more public.
That's great.
Yeah. So if you enjoy those kind of listening formats, then you can find us there if you want to, while you're driving to work or whatever, you can do that. So
that's great.
In today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about Open Mandriva. Which is an awesome distribution that stood the test of time. We're going to talk about PyCharm and Android Studio. And
very appropriate.
We're going to talk about QJack CTL, which is a nifty little tool.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun to show you last night.
And, yeah, I'd never heard of that till just when you brought that up. So that's going to be interesting. So,
Open Mandriva, though. Let's talk about that.
You want to talk about Open Mandriva? All right, let's do it.
I used regular Mandriva for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being notified about it from Linux Magazine. When we were still buying printed magazines.
I'm showing the viewers.
What was it? Not page. Linux. Not Linux Magazine. Linux Format. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you guys buy or read that?
I did a long time ago, but not. Oh shoot! Are you there? Yeah, I did a long time ago, but not recently.
Oh, ads.
Huh?
Scrolling through ads.
Yeah.
And but, yeah.
Not recently.
9to5 Linux put out a great overview on the release itself.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys over at 9to5 Linux. We love reading your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Open Mandriva kind of falls into that, like that last review that I did of PC Linux OS.
It's an old-time distro.
It's an old-time distro that's been around for a long time. It's a fork of the original Mandriva as well. And
did you use the original Mandriva? Because I did. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And what is interesting about the Open Mandriva is how they are doing like the stable release and also the kind of like the rolling release.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a different take on how Ubuntu has their LTS versus their, usually it's the 0.4 that's the non-LTS, mm-hmm. but that's one way to do it. But Ubuntu's not a rolling release the way Open Mandriva is, but it's an interesting take. I think it would be cool to see Arch-based stuff try that approach.
Arch-based and not, stuff?
Yeah, I don't think it will just by nature of what Arch is, but it would be cool to have something where you'd have the flexibility of Arch,
mm-hmm.
but a little bit more chill.
What that says, and that's why I want to kind of talk about this, is because you have like distros out there that are they have just the stable version, you know, and they don't have like that offering of the rolling release version. And to me, the distros that do the rolling release version tend to want to encompass their user base more, you know, like not everybody wants just the stability one. They want to be on getting the more cutting edge stuff, the more newer stuff. And so it offers I don't want to say a non-professional versus professional, but it seems more professional of them because they're offering variety. Yeah, Waffles, we're back.
Yep.
They're offering, hey, Waffles. They're offering variety to their user, you know, their user base. And they're actually getting their users to be, you know, more interactive with them. It helps also build a stronger stable version as well.
I could see that, but rolling release never feels anything remotely close to stable for me. Rolling release basically says you get to try all the cool stuff and help us fix it.
Well, yeah, and of course, you've got people that will say, well, that's what alpha and beta releases are for, you know.
Right, and you know, that's the thing about Linux. Everybody can do it their way.
Right, and that's it. It's like, hey,
Zero Linux has entered the chat.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what it's good for. But then again, that's also, like I said, there are people out there that have newer hardware, newer whatever in their boxes, and they want to test it. And if they're stuck on an older stable release, they may not get that as everyday users.
Well, I don't think, you know, rolling release isn't like, well, oh, we just enabled, you know, your CPU yesterday. It's not like that different day to day. At least I haven't had the experience where it was. And have you guys had that, you know, where a day later you had support for something that you've been waiting for a while or ran into? I've never seen that difference.
That actually happened to me. That actually happened to me with a graphics card that I was using before I got this new one. It was
no way.
Yeah, wow. it was an R8 or R7. I can't remember what it was. Anyhow, okay. And for some reason, I was on. It was Debian. For some reason, I updated. And support just stopped working on it. And when I rolled back, it was there.
Oh, man. And in all... Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, my brain just broke. You want to know what happened?
What? Don't tell me you had another gremlin.
No, the episode did.
What do you mean?
The title's wrong, bro.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't get a chance to set it all up.
Yeah, we can fix that. Yeah, we can fix it in post.
Yeah, we're going to fix that in post. But didn't mean to break your brain. I figured you'd have caught that.
No, I did not catch that because I wasn't watching the stream. I was streaming the stream.
So, and
Steve, thank you. Thank you for the
thank you.
Super chat.
Oh, thanks for the super chat.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. But anyhow, no, I literally had that support break on something in the middle of just an upgrade.
Okay, yeah, that I've definitely experienced. Do you remember the horrors of installing the NVIDIA driver manually?
Yeah,
because that was something I had to do when I was using OG Mandriva.
Right.
You still had to do the, you know, go to NVIDIA, download the thing,
right?
Run the bash script in the terminal. Mm-hmm. Pray that your entire existence didn't break.
Right. Yeah. But that's back in those days, you had to do that. That wasn't just for NVIDIA. That was for like sound cards and a lot of different things, you know, back in those days. So, I mean, it's definitely come a long way, and it is not anything that isn't foreign to any of us old time Linux users, you know,
right.
But the kids today will never see that. Well, they don't see that struggle. They don't have to see that struggle.
Right. Yeah, if you used original Mandriva, sorry that your back also hurts.
But yeah, no, you know, and what's interestingly enough, that's like PC Linux OS 2 as well, that it stood the test of time, even the fork has. Yep. You know, the original and the fork. I mean, they're because of the stability that's there. But I just liked it. If you wanted the actual, you know, more current stuff, you can get it through the rolling release version of Open Mandriva.
Yeah.
So, but definitely other than that, it's a cool. great it's a great Linux distribution. It is, it is,
it's
definitely
simple. It's pleasing to look at.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's very simple. It's to me, it's almost semi. Well, no, not semi. It is pretty user friendly for new Linux users too, as well.
Yeah,
but it's just so old that you don't hear about it as often. So.
I think using RPM packages may turn some new people off.
Yeah.
I find the RPM package management to be a little bit less user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coppers are definitely not as easy to use as, say, a PPA or a Snap or something Steve. Containerized.
Steve said Open Mandriva makes me fart. Hey, it's based. You should love it. Holy Steve. Only Steve. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those distributions that is an oldie but goodie, stood the test of time. Mandrake Mandriva was trying to be Ubuntu before Ubuntu existed.
100%. Yep.
Steve's there. He's for real on that one.
Yeah, DT, you were totally right about that.
But, you know, like I said, it's one of those that if you haven't heard of it, go and try it. You'll definitely not be displeased with it. In fact, you might get a little nostalgic, you know, taste a piece of Linux history, you know, from it. If you're an old timer, Open Mandriva is good for your heart. Yes, it is, Waffles. Yes, it is. That's what I like. You know, that's the thing that, you know, all these old distros bring, you know, the different views of it from people. Like, you got Steve saying it makes them fart, and you got others like us saying that we love it, you know?
Yeah. It was definitely, I think it was a perfect description from DT that it was trying to be Ubuntu. It really was.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it was very user friendly at that time, and still is. So, and the package has got a great package base, you know. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's great all around. Give it a try. So, cool. You want to talk about, which topic you want to talk about next?
You're up.
I'm up. So, my topic that we're going to talk about is PyCharm and Android Studio, which, Jesus Christ, it went back to that screen thing, whatever. Anyhow, PyCharm and Android Studio. Zero Linux is a baby, not yet knows how to walk. Zero Linux.
Oh, Steve's in with Uwu. Steve's having a good day today.
Yes, he is. So PyCharm and Android Studio, for those people that don't know it, there's an article over on its boss that is talking about. I just tried to pull it up and it's doing its stupid retimeout thing. Let me see if I could refresh the browser, get it to refresh. Okay. And there it is. It is basically what it is Android Studio is a developer IDE for Android that you could use on Linux for Android creating apps, you know, Android apps and that kind of stuff. And So it uses Python, and that is what PyCharm is. It is a whole host of studio or Python scripting tools that are there out of the box, all the dev tools that you need for creating apps for Python Studio. And what's happening with them is they're getting actual Wayland support on both WSL and Linux natively by IntelliJ Brains. Which are the people that do the Jet fonts, the Jet Brain fonts, and that kind of stuff. So, at any instance, they're starting to get Wayland support. And what made me want to talk about that is the fact that DT says I need to ask ChatGPT.
Okay, I'm gonna put a pin in my thought and come back to it. I have a question about PyCharm because one of the things you said scared me a little bit.
Okay. So at any instance, they're the toolkits that are done for developing apps for you know, like Android apps and that kind of stuff. And what's sure. nice is that you're actually getting like fractional scaling. You're getting in it. They're enabling the fractional scaling, the high DPI. Also, the scaling is really important because a lot of developers, when they're trying to develop for their apps that maybe on Wayland or whatever, they're experiencing like fuzzy font sizes, fuzzy fonts, that kind of stuff. This clears right. all that up. So, and you know, aesthetically, when you're creating an app, I mean, you need that clarity, you know, and
looks matter.
Yeah, exactly.
If your app's not pretty, nobody's going to use it.
Yeah. And Steve says, charms? Are we in Hogwarts? But at any instance, with that, we're talking about them getting a little bit more clarity and being able to start developing in Wayland now, which is, of course, where everything's trying to move to. Now, me, you know, I'm still not ready. As I showed in the background in the last few episodes that we've been in, I've been running Wayland on my laptop, and last night I was working on it and it totally crashed on me. So my thing is for these developers to be developing like these apps for it using PyCharm and, you know, the Android Studio, how are they doing that? Because it was a simple update that broke my Wayland, my Hyperland, right?
Right.
So I don't know.
Somebody get on the line, call Voxery, fix it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how functional that's going to be. That's why I want to talk about it, because, you know, in my mind's eye, I don't think that Wayland is stable enough that I would be wanting to develop stuff on it.
Absolutely not.
You know,
I mean, if you're doing text editing, sure, I think it would be fine.
Right, but and you could say that you're kind of text editing because it's basically everything in code. But when you launch the studio and try to run your app in the studio, because I don't know, have you ever used Android Studio?
I have not had success with getting much working for Android on Linux other than like ADB and some of that stuff.
Right. So I'm a cord cutter, and I don't know if you know what that is, but a cord cutter is somebody who's like unplugging from cable TV and all that kind of stuff, right? And just streaming everything, right?
And, oh, I've been a cord cutter since I worked at Comcast.
Which is not really cord cutting if you think about it, because you're still using a cord.
Sure.
But,
right.
But your video just left, Jesse.
Yep.
Your video's gone.
Yep, I'm back. I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting a cold, so.
And you just messed up my whole YouTube thing.
Oh, no.
So, anyhow, I used Android Studio for cord cutting, and I'd run like IPTV Smarters Pro in there, or, you know, a host of other, you know, Android based streaming things, tools, so to speak, or apps that you can use to watch your content on. And it's heavily reliant on a stable display server, you know what I'm saying, and compositing.
Absolutely.
Because when you like it, you get it when you first open it, it's literally looking like your phone, you know, like the that weird rectangular sideways looking thing, and like almost like a tablet, right? And then when you expand it, you know, then it goes into full screen. But if you don't have a solid compositor or, you know, display server to do that with, it's going to be totally wonky. And with Wayland, you know, it actually doing that and the potential for it breaking and stuff like that is just way too huge that I wouldn't want to be developing for it, you know what I'm saying, or developing on it right now.
Wayland's better than it used to be, but it's still very immature.
Oh yeah, and I get it for testing purposes, but that isn't something, like I said, I don't know any developer that would be doing that. They would just mainly be probably still on X11 or XOR, you know, the XOR display server with X11,
yep.
You know, doing that versus doing the Wayland one. So that's why I thought that was kind of interesting, because, I mean, it's got to start somewhere, and I could see them wanting to do that, but it's kind of risky for me, man. You know, as a as somebody who used that kind of stuff, and I did try to write a couple of Android apps. What's up, Izzy? How you doing? Izzy, our newest admin in our Discord servers is in the chat.
Izzy,
yeah,
I made it.
Yeah, and so. Like I said, you know, being that I did try to, and you know how difficult that is to write for some of those apps to try to.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you're not on something stable, I don't know, you know? And so I just thought I'd put that out there, and I don't know how many, you know, people that play with that are followers, but I just, you know, wanted to bring them that to watch out for that, you know, have fun with it, but understand that I wouldn't be doing my main development on that. Because he says he's doing all right.
So let me put this out there then, too. If we're talking about stability, trying to run Wayland in WSL does not sound like a stable setup.
Yeah, and that was another thing, Android ROMs. Yeah, that was another thing that really spike my curiosity on that as well, is a Windows subsystem for Linux having actual Wayland support. I didn't even know that was there actually. But if you're using, I guess the way, because I've never played with it, I'll be honest with you, I've never played with Windows subsystem for Linux. But if you're using a distribution, and I don't know if you could use any distribution in it, or if they have a certain set of supported distros that work within it.
Ubuntu's actually one of the more popular ones.
Well, I'm sure all the stable ones, Ubuntu, Fedora, I'm sure those are there for it. But yeah, right. But Fedora,
the ones that have been around for a while.
Right, and Fedora does adopt the Wayland support, so I guess it might be there. So that's what the other thing was, that, you know, how does it work on that? How stable is it? How what are the issues there? Are they just like the common issues that you have in regular, or is it more enhanced because of it's a compatibility layer, so to speak?
Right.
So Izzy says WSL has Xorg forwarding. I don't know about Wayland. That sounds like hell. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yep. You're all caught up. There you go.
Zero's becoming real Hyperlink.
H0,
yeah. H0. Wow. Yeah, it's, you know, it's moving forward. And like I said, we're in its infancy, so, of Wayland. So it's going to get better, obviously. But I think, like I said, on the development side, I don't think that I'd be trusting doing development in it right now. Izzy says that's
for Xorg.
Is forwarding containerized environment. Yeah. Really nice side feature that's legacy of the teletype era. Yeah. For those of you that don't know Izzy is kind of like, I would love to see Izzy and Josh get together and talk some shit. You want to talk about, two loving Uber nerds talking about some stuff that just really excites them, dude. Those guys would be those guys would be well,
Ham. Ham's in the chat.
What's we up, got a Ham. Those guys would be completely off the charts on what they would be saying. You know what I mean?
6-hour streams all day.
Literally, man. It would be awesome to see Izzy and Josh do a distro hacking episode.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, and Izzy's a huge BSD guy. Oh, Steve says he's serious. H0 is the Hyperlink community edition will be coming soon. And he says, hush, 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 hush. Well, you can't do that in a chat, Steve, when you post it like that. But anyhow, that would be interesting to see those guys talk about that kind of stuff, because Izzy knows what he's talking about, a lot of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And by the way, he actually saw your distro review and thought well
of it. Oh, yep.
As everybody knew.
Thank you for the criticism, everybody. The mic issue was real. As you will notice, I am not wearing my wireless mic anymore. I'm on my backup wired mic and soon to be back to the good old fashioned condenser on the boom arm. So
right.
Thank you, everybody who mentioned the mic. You are all correct. The mic was trash.
And to be fair, Josh, when we were going to post that, he said that he was leery of posting it because he knew about the mic issues.
He's like, they're going to come for me, but the visuals are great.
And I told him, no, we're going to roll with it because you know what? You just got to do it. And you take the criticism and you learn from it and you expand and grow from it. And it's actually been really great criticism. Everybody understood the mic
issue. Yeah. Now, do we just have a day where we take these outside with a stream cam and just office space them?
Yeah, one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies. I think really what it was is your neck was rubbing the mic.
Hey, leave my neck out of this.
You know, I think that's what it was, but either way, just from the position where it's at, there's
Izzy said, I don't sound like popcorn underwater.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, but that's the problem why I, you know, because I have a lavalier mic that you connect there, and I got the same issues with it. So, and then I had to overhead boom, and it would rub on my fat little cheek, my chipmunk cheeks.
So, oh, man.
So yeah, so, it's always something.
iCharm does sound cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. It is really cool. And Android Studio is really, really cool. If you want to use it to get some of those Android apps that you really like using on your Linux desktop environment, but once again, to develop in Wayland on it is probably not the best move. You know what I'm saying?
Heard. Yeah, when I'm messing with Android stuff, I'm usually using one of the Jenny Motion tools, like SCRC Pi.
What? Let's say that again.
There's a very popular screen mirroring tool. I don't have to use something like Android Studio if I'm running Linux apps. What I do is I use something called SCRC Pi for screen recording. Pi, and it's not just a recording, but you connect your phone with a USB cable and it uses ADB and actually mirrors your screen.
Your phone, yeah. Kind of like what Google Chromecast does for your TV and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I've actually done it to stream mobile games on Twitch.
Yeah.
Because I'm using the graphics hardware on the PC, it's near instant, no lag. You know, as I touch stuff on the screen, it's immediately being streamed through OBS.
Nice. Nice.
But I will have to give it a shot for like app development. That does sound cool.
Yeah, it's really, it is cool. And like I said, I played with it, but it's difficult. I mean, when you're developing, you have to know, you know, a lot of code. And like I was talking to Izzy last night when I was actual in my Discord, talking to Izzy live last night, we were having a conversation about how, when I finally started, you know, learning how to code and do that kind of stuff, and I finally got up to speed enough that I was able to, you know, plunge forward a little bit, I became outdated instantly because I'm such a damn relic in the Linux world, you know, when it comes to coding, because there's so many different coding languages and stuff like that. And it's in Java, so that was one that's been around for a while that I kind of know a little bit about, you know. So give it a try.
Yeah. Oh boy!
So we're going
to
talk.
So much cool to talk about.
Yeah. So you want to talk about your next one, Waydroid? That's another one that's out there. Yeah.
Yeah. That Waydroid's cool. So I've been playing with QJack CTL this week. You know, while I'm exploring Ubuntu Studio, this comes installed by default, and QJack CTL is a GUI front end to manage the Jack audio subsystem. Jack was the front runner before Pipewire showed up.
Right. I tried
if
to
you
show
wanted
it to
anything.
I tried to show it to the users, but once again, my stupid browser, OBS is killing me today. Freaking OBS.
Oh man.
Oh,
so audio, we got another audio nerd Steve, thank you for the super chat. Thank you so
much, brother, for the super chat.
Yeah, keep those super chats coming, and I will go ahead. We'll take a hammer and smash these little things on stream. Oh, Ham is off to make dinner for the kiddos.
Yep.
Got to feed the kiddos.
Thanks, Danny, for popping in.
QJack CTL lets you manage Jack in real time without using something like a patch bay or like Carla or one of the other tools for that, and the changes go into effect in real time.
So you're literally making changes on the fly.
Correct. Like if I want to change my buffer settings for my interface, mm-hmm. I'll just use this spare interface here as an example. If right. I'm using the XLR input or the quarter inch input or a guitar or mic or whatever, mm-hmm. I don't like the latency when I'm playing along with something. I can adjust that in real time. And because I'm using Pipewire, Jack is actually doing all the heavy lifting, and the Jack Pipewire plugin is what's handling it in the back end. Mm-hmm. So it feels like using a Mac, where you get that instant, immediate audio feedback that's just really smooth. It's very, very good for music production.
Nice. So you can literally, like, say you have a second audio input from somebody, like say you have a guest on or you're recording, you know, for yep. for what, you know, like a guitar track or whatever. You can literally map that out and adjust whatever levels you need for that right on the fly in real time.
Well, you wouldn't use the level so much. I really find that this tool shines at adjusting latency.
So it's just basically latency, but like you can't do like audio levels or can you?
You would use that. You would do that in your OBS. You would do that in your DAW if you're using one of those.
Okay. So it's just strictly a mapper.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You're dealing with the back end. That's what Jack really is.
I've never
is.
Heard, just for the record, why I'm so like lost on this one is I've never heard of this audio tool in any way, shape, or form till last night. So I'm as new to this as you guys are right now, if you have never heard of it before. But and I tried to pull it up on the OBS browser, but OBS
is just,
it's destroying
OBS
me
does
today.
Not like today.
No, I want to nuke it. I still want to nuke it. But anyhow, if
Steve, you are gonna get us demonetized, my dude. Oh my god, I am so glad we're marked
on video
as
and a hazard in text.
Yeah, guys, thank you for putting up with my sniffles. I'm trying to pretend I don't have a cold, and I just wanted to hang out with you guys anyway.
Izzy says something, super user, level privileges stuff. Anyway, okay, yeah, I get what he's saying.
Wait, the super chats? Anybody can super chat. You don't need Sue for that.
No, I think he's talking about what we were talking about for the.
Oh yeah,
the
adjusting the
yeah yeah
stuff.
Yeah.
You do not need admin
privileges. You can just do it as a regular. Any user can do it that way.
Correct, and I think that's because of the Jack integration.
More than likely, and that's cool. And it's cool that it's a nice Jack tool like that. So, the other question I had is, like you were showing me, you could change like the latency and also the megahertz, the 48, 41.
Oh
96.
Yeah, setting the sample rate.
The sample rate. That's it. Damn it! I drew a blank on that. You know, senior moment, I guess. But anyhow, like the sample rate, you can adjust those on the fly too. So you can interchangeably just change those without having to restart or anything like that.
You may have to restart things that are dependent on the changes, but Jack and Pipewire through, you know, if you're using Pipewire, it will process immediately. You don't have to reboot. You don't have to restart Jack. I believe Jack restarts are handled when you apply the changes in QJack's ETL.
Oh, cool. So it does all that right there on the fly then.
Correct. Yeah. Now, Izzy, I am not familiar with SNDIO. I have not had to use it.
What is he talking about?
Who? Izzy?
Yeah.
There's another subsystem called SNDIO.
Oh, got you. Got you.
It's for sound input output.
Yeah. I've heard of that one, but I've never played with it either, so.
Yeah. Steve, I generally says, just stick with what works.
Steve says, I love your nerds adding some humor.
Yep, yep.
To the pod.
Now we are pirates with the Yar Hars. Yeah, I love it.
It's a sound system under OpenBSD.
Cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That,
you did mention he was a BSD fan, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, in our Discord server, if you have any BSD questions or are wanting to try BSD, hit up Izzy. He's a cat that'll help you get through it. I've seen him help so many people go through it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is 2023 going to be the year that BSD gets out of the shadow of Linux?
Well, you know what I find interesting? You know, it's really, really, really funny is I find interesting that there's been this thing on where I guess we're going on to another topic because it's a cool question and it's a good one to talk about. But on Facebook, a lot of groups are now, like your Facebook groups, like if you go and look up like Linux, you know, Facebook groups and stuff like that, you will see that a lot of them are Linux and BSD groups out there. They're combining them both. So it is,
I don't know how I feel about that. So it sounds like it is picking up some steam.
It is. That's exactly what I'm trying to bring light to. It is picking up some steam. And that's actually how I met Izzy, because I used to be part of a Facebook group that was a Linux group, and then we broke off because the forbidden fourth option. That is funny. We were part of a Facebook group that broke off, and we created this Linux and BSD unified community group on Facebook, and that's how I met Izzy through there when I was admin there. That was one of the first places I started at, in, you know, talking to people and posting videos and that kind of stuff. And so there is a growth going on in BSD.
Steve with the super chat, thank you. My God,
thank you so much, Steve. Wow.
Explain what a feature complete project is.
Okay, Steve, let me finish with the BSD thing and then I'll move on to that for sure.
Yeah.
Now, the BSD project the BSD is gaining movement, and it is becoming a very viable alternative to Linux. Now, the package system for me in early days was what held me up from trying it. And talking to Izzy last night, he said that it's come a lot further than it has, because this was a while ago when I tried it, a long time ago. And so the package system is getting there, and that's a good thing. So it's actually becoming more usable and more popular. And also the support also used to be for older hardware and not so much of the newer stuff. So that being
said, there's a case to be made for that. I get it.
Exactly. So that being said, it's, you know, you're going to be able to maybe use it someday on very modern equipment, or if you not already can by now, because I'm sure that they fixed some of that stuff. Now,
are we going for BSD on the Raspberry Pi?
Right. Now to talk about what the difference is between a feature complete distribution and a non-feature complete distribution, because we've been asked
as requested.
As requested. So in a feature complete distribution, it's literally that a distribution has X features that the developer has designed to put into it and build into it, right? That he wanted to support. He lays out his distribution, and what he's shooting for, and then he sticks to that, gets a development team that sticks to that, and that's what they move forward. A non-feature complete one is one where it's still growing. They haven't completely decided what the features are that they want to stick to and maintain and support. And so they're still kind of feeling their way out, if you will, as to where they're growing towards, right? Now, Steve is wanting us to talk about that because he has made several announcements recently that Zero Linux is 100% feature complete.
Correct. I believe that's where we were getting here.
Right. And
Steve paid for a plug.
Yes. And so Zero Linux is a great distribution. It is Arch-based. It is themed beautifully and, I would dare say, masterfully. The attention to detail for everything small is there. Tested. Is tested and is working and is great. There is the other spins that he went on to do. I think GNOME is the only spin that is actually going to be continued, so to speak, but it is not
that has to be built.
Right. That has to be built, and it's not one that's going to be getting the main attention either. The Zero Linux is getting the main attention. That was
right. The KDE version is
right. The KDE
finished.
Yep, complete. It's feature complete. Yeah, it's completely feature complete. And he's been, as every developer gets hammered by users and also people who are just test driving it, they're going to give their constructive criticism, which is just that, constructive criticism, that, oh, why don't you add this? Why don't you add that? Or, it'd be better if you had this or if you didn't have that. And,
right, but the distro is done minus security updates, correct?
And that's what he's trying to kindly say that we're not addressing those issues anymore because this is where we want to be. This is what works best for us. This is the distro that I can continue at my level and my team's level to maintain. And that is
DJ is not taking requests at this time.
Exactly. And that is something that is important for developers and distro maintainers to have because oftentimes you want, like, we all know Steve's a good guy and he wanted to give everybody everything he could, but it was destroying him.
Yeah.
And I don't know how some of these,
he did what he set out to do.
Yeah. A lot of some of these other developers, a lot of these other developers continue to add more and more and more, like Makulu Linux. Raymer is an amazingly smart man and developer. For that distribution. And what he does, he puts his heart, soul, and literally his body. He's had issues health-wise of all the time that he spent doing this. And it's his love and it's his passion. And so you have different levels of developers. And eventually, Makulu will get feature complete as well because he can only do so much. So that's what feature complete means. And that is what Steve is wanting us to say. I hope I did you justice there, Steve.
Love you, Steve.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that is basically everything we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
I think that this...
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out through the 20-odd minutes of OBS nightmares we had today.
Yeah, the only ones that really caught that was poor Waffles and TL and DT. And you know what's really funny is we were setting it up and going through, I went through all the transitions, I went through everything before we had anything, and everything worked fine. And then as soon as we went live, that's when the damn gremlins hit. Izzy said Zero Linux is a maintenance mode, basically. No major changes, just only if something is breaking changes. And actually, that is one thing that Steve actually does. Waffle says it's part of the fun. Ah, it's awesome. That's the one thing that Steve does that I do want to throw out there as well. I love my brother from another mother, my Kuya. Steve actually always has announcements whenever something breaks. He's like always on it, instantly on it. Like he was on the Grub issue. He was on everything. And he always gives you the fixes as well. So make sure that you follow him and all his social media, because he announces them everywhere, and also he alerts in our Discord server as well. So yeah, and, cool. And Izzy said he saw Steve's video on it. That's right. So nice. Anyhow, guys, that's all we got for you guys today. And all I'm going to say is simply this. Y'all keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing. Stay blessed. And above all, have a great day.